My name is Lyndon Sampang, retired sergeant, U.S. Army Infantry, 101st Division, 3rd Brigade, 187 Roquesons. I was stationed in Fort Campbell and we deployed in Afghanistan, Pakhtinkhwa Province. I was injured by a ambush, RPG blast. Lost my right leg below the knee. When I saw the 9/11, when I saw everything happen, I said I need to enlist. So I joined when I was 27 as Army National Guard for Alaska.
Hi everybody, I'm Christy Lucas, CEO of Roots for Boots, and I am your guest host here today on another episode of Open House. And I have a very special guest here with me, Cindy Sampang. And she is the wife of Lyndon Sampang. And Lyndon is one of our veterans who has benefited from your donation dollars to Roots for Boots, right? And we'll get to that a little bit later. But right now, we want to focus on military families, because I know that during the month of November, everybody knows that Veterans Day hits in November, November 11th. But people might not know, but it's also Military Family Appreciation Month. So we thought it'd be nice to see the perspective of a military wife. Mm-hmm. You know, how you dealt with things before, during, and then after a deployment. So, Lyndon, he was born in the Philippines.
Yes.
Right? And you're from the Philippines.
Yes.
Right? Okay. So he was born and grew up in the Philippines. And then as a young adult, he moved to Alaska. Mm-hmm. Right? Now, do you know why did
his family and him, they migrate to Alaska.
Okay, so they came to Alaska. All right, so then as a young adult, he was there. So he had told us that 9/11 compelled him to enlist into the Army. So that really meant something to him. So can you tell your story of how you met Lyndon?
Oh my God.
Okay, up to that point where he decides to enlist you were together then?
Yeah, by that time, we haven't met each other yet.
Okay,
he's already in National Guard
Yep. So how'd you meet?
In a simply picture, I have a cousin, he's in National Guard too.
Okay.
And then they were buddy in Alaska. So I sent a picture to my cousin and then put my phone number. And that's the way we met each other. He saw my picture and then he started calling me.
Okay.
And then I think after a year, he went back home to Philippines to see me.
Okay.
And when we saw each other, to be honestly, I fell in love with him.
Oh.
And that's the first time we saw each other.
Yeah. And so it was like a long distance relationship?
There's no video chat before when we met. Basically, he just called me, hearing our voice, that's it. Uh-huh. But we never seen each other in person. And then when he visited me in Philippines, that's the first time we saw each other.
And you knew it was meant to be.
Yeah, I call that destiny. No kidding, I call that destiny.
You're so cute. Okay, so then he served in Iraqi Freedom.
Yes.
Right, okay, mm-hmm. So and I think that was around 2008. And then he did another deployment in Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when his life changed.
Yes.
You know, through the injury that he received when he was there. So can you tell us, how did you prepare for his deployment? Like, he tells you, you know, I'm going to be deployed, I'm going to Iraq, or I'm going to Afghanistan. How does a family prepare for that?
Especially for us, we're far, like, I was in the Philippines and he was here.
Okay.
The mostly we can do is pray, especially for me.
Okay.
Pray for him wherever he go. It's pretty hard because it's like for 6 years by the time he went to Afghanistan and Iraq, for 6 years we've been married. I think we just saw each other like 3 times
mm-hmm.
for 6 years of relationship we have.
That's right.
Basically, we just talk by the phone. And then, that's all I can do for him, is pray for him. Because I wasn't in here. I can be there for him, like you know.
Do you think it's harder on your end than it was on his?
I think so, yeah.
Because mm-hmm. it's like you don't really know, mm-hmm. you know, what's going on. And then, of course, when that day came, you know, when that's when he was in Afghanistan, right? Mm-hmm. So you were talking on the phone with him, right? So then pick up there. So he called you?
Yeah, he called me. Just well, by the time that year, we had the Skype. Video chatting every single day. Okay. And then he told me, I'll be back in 15 minutes. Just wait for me. I was just, mm-hmm. that's our normal routine every single day.
Okay.
He called me.
So you were able to talk with him every single day?
Sometimes when he get a chance.
Okay.
But he's trying his best to call me, so you know, so I don't have to worry about him.
Yeah.
So that day before they got ambushed, he told me that wait for 15 minutes, I'll be back. And that's the first time, like 20, 30 minutes he haven't called yet.
So you were talking on the phone with him, and he said, I gotta go. Mm-hmm. Did he have to do a patrol?
Yes.
Is that what
he had to go to a patrol? Yep.
And then, how long would that normally take? Like how long would you
like
expect?
Sometimes less than 15 minutes. Okay. He's back.
So right 15 there. Minutes has passed,
but
still no call.
Yeah, and then I got worried, like, okay, this is not normal. And then my phone rang. I was just waiting for him to video chat. It's like, it's a long distance call, so I have to pick it up. I thought it was him. It's like, and then I heard it was the military. And they were telling me that my husband got ambushed and he got injured. After that, I didn't get any answer,
So what was it like when that phone rang and you picked it up and it wasn't him?
I was thinking it was him because it doesn't register the number for the international call. It doesn't show who. It's just the number. Mm-hmm. That's it. And I just thought it was him. And then when I heard it, it's like, hey, is this Mrs. Sampang? And then it continued their story.
Did you know something was wrong right when you know it wasn't him?
I feel worried before they call me. It's like different feeling mm-hmm. that I never felt. And then even though I asked them what happened to him, you know, and more question, they cannot give me any answer.
Wow.
And I have to wait for them to call me back. Just to get the...
And you didn't know if he was alive.
Exactly. That's my first question. Is he alive? They didn't give me an answer. Yeah. And I have to wait.
Were you by yourself when you got that call?
With my grandma.
So what was that like? What'd you tell your grandmother?
I told my grandma that something happened. Mm-hmm. And then she's the one who comforted me that time.
Well, you know what? I think God put her there because he knew you were going to get that call then mm-hmm. and you needed somebody to be there with you.
Mm-hmm.
But look what he's done with Lyndon, and we'll get to that later, right?
Yeah.
He's like a Roots for Boots rock star.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I don't think any wife or girlfriend or fiance or family member or friend for that matter ever wants to get a call like that. Mm-hmm. And I think it's the fear of the unknown. Yeah. You know, especially since they weren't giving you information. Maybe they didn't have it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. And
it's really hard. It's really hard for us because we're I'm there and he's here, you know. I cannot just go right over just to be with him, beside him, you know.
Right, he's so far away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And sometimes you look on a map and you see that's where he is and this mm-hmm. is where you are, you know, and there's just mm-hmm. so many miles between you.
I think more than a week I don't even sleep and eat at the hall, yeah.
So then when did you find out that he was okay, but that there's a possibility that he, you know, he was going to have an injury that was going to change his life?
I still thank God, even though he lost his leg, yeah. At least he's alive, you know?
Yes.
I still...
But how much time passed in between there? So you get the call, you don't know if he's alive or not, and then when did they tell you that he is? But he might have to have part of his leg amputated.
I think they, I remember they called me around lunchtime.
So it was that same day?
No.
Oh, okay.
I think I waited the next morning for
that was a long night.
They called me, yeah. That's why I didn't sleep that night.
Yeah.
I even called the hospital, they gave me the number, but they haven't They haven't given me any information. Mm-hmm. I have to wait for them.
So was he at Walter Reed? Is that where he was?
Yes.
Okay, eventually. Yeah.
Yeah.
At Walter Reed.
Eventually, yep.
And is that where you were reunited with him?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. They picked me up at the airport.
Now, how long of a wait was that before the time that the accident happened to, and we should say that his vehicle was hit by a RPG,
mm-hmm.
right? And I think it's important, and I know I've been in schools with Lennon and he's talked about this story,
mm-hmm.
and he talks about when he came to, his
yes.
foot was actually over here,
mm-hmm.
and he used his belt as a tourniquet, and pretty
yep.
much saved his mm-hmm. own life. And then he talks about how when he finally woke up, he saw the lights
yep.
from the hospital,
mm-hmm.
and he actually thought he was dead.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes, he laughs about it now, but you know, it wasn't funny then, I'm sure. Okay, so then you're reunited with him in the hospital. So bring us to that time now. What was that like?
Well, the first time when I saw him
mm-hmm.
at the airport, it was in the airport. They picked
me
up.
You saw him at the airport?
Yes, because it took us like 2 weeks
okay.
To get it done, all my paperwork to Philippines to come over here.
Okay.
And then he got a good positivity attitude. He tried and do his best to mm-hmm. to walk as soon as possible.
That doesn't
he was
surprise
on the,
me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was on the cane. He's trying,
right.
you know. And then they picked me up at the airport. My first words like, oh, you still look good like before. and give him a hug. Yeah.
I bet that was a happy day.
It was.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the kids weren't there then, right?
No.
Okay,
no.
They came later. Mm-hmm. Okay. So during that time, you talked about your grandmother when you got the call. And, I mean, thank God that she was there for you and you weren't mm-hmm. alone when you got that call. So was there anyone else during that time that you could lean on?
When I got here,
mm-hmm.
I met a Puerto Rican, she's a military wife too, and her husband got injured. So we live at the same time at the Walter Reed.
Uh-huh.
And then it's her first time, I think she migrated here.
Mm-hmm.
So we're basically the same situation.
Right.
So we're understanding everything,
mm-hmm.
bilingual and et cetera, you know. She's the one person that I mostly talk to and then ask question about, because it's a lot of adjustment for me,
mm-hmm.
especially in our relationship. And that's the first time when I came over here, that's the first time like a normal and husband and wife
mm-hmm.
together.
Right.
We never been together for a longer time.
Right.
Basically, Lyndon got a 3 weeks vacation, that's it.
Right.
And in six years of relationship, we seen each other like 3 times.
Because that's was gone.
He was gone. Yes. I was there and he is here.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, how can I say that? Like, I don't mostly understand what is the military has, their PTSD and everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard for me. But yeah, I did my best and to support him,
yep.
to understand everything. So I can show it to him that I'm gonna be there for you no matter what.
You guys have a really special relationship. You do. I love the way you look out for each other. You have a beautiful family.
Thank you.
You don't let anything get in the way of your family. So my next question was gonna be, were there any military wives that helped you through it? Because I imagine that's a club that most women don't wanna be in. But when you find yourself in it, you know,
yeah.
it's good mm-hmm. to provide that support for each other and to
yes.
have, you
yeah,
know, the experiences
true.
And all that.
When we are in Walter Reed, I don't feel like, I'm starting meeting all the military wives mm-hmm. over there. They're like your sister.
Were you in the Fisher houses at all when
yes,
you were there?
Yes, in Malong House.
Okay.
We stayed there like for almost 4 years. Mm-hmm. And mostly the military wives, they're like a family. They're like a sister.
Well, yeah, the Fisher house, we did some work with the Fisher houses early on in Roots for Boots, and I know they really work hard to provide that common area
mm-hmm.
where but the veterans, the active duty, and the family can, you know, share those times like you did.
Yeah.
Have meals together.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't feel like a hotel. It's more like
it's
a home.
Not. It's like it's a home.
Yep, and yeah, I know that's their goal. Mm-hmm. So that's wonderful that you were able to stay there and be able to just walk back and forth.
Yes.
You didn't have to have a long drive to be able to see him,
yes,
which is another philosophy of the Fisher houses, mm-hmm, to keep the families close.
Especially Friday night.
What was Friday night?
They do grilled and everything just to hang out with
nice.
Everybody. Yeah, that's our Monday through Friday. Mm-hmm. Our routine over there is hospital.
Right.
Therapies, hospital, checkup, etc. Then Friday night is kind of our relaxing time after the hospital. Then they're going to do grill, barbecue.
It's funny you say that because the patio furniture that's over there.
Oh!
Roots for Boots brought that down. A lot of that patio furniture.
Yeah.
Umbrellas down.
I won't forget that place. We've been there for like almost 4 years.
So. Well, I'm glad you had a good experience with that because that's another great...
And I met a lot of military wives over there.
Do you still keep in contact?
Yes.
Good.
Yeah, until now. It's like what I said, they're like a family. They're like your sister. You can lean on them if you wanna, like if you're thinking like you need someone to talk to, military wife, they're gonna be there for you.
Yeah, and I think you need people like that, especially when you have an experience like you all have.
Yeah, that's what I started, you know, asking questions, what do they do? Because they are, like them, unlike us, they are with their husband. Mm-hmm. They got more experience than me. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to, you know, learn everything, all the process that I need to learn to understand my husband, what happened to him, to support him, how can I support him, how can I stand with him, you know? It's really hard.
So that whole experience there, did that prepare you for what might come afterwards with dealing with his injury and his...
Yes. Yeah. It's not easy, but yeah.
Yeah. Now, how was it for him, like, coming back? And he's medically retired. How was it for him to be able to adjust with not having part of his leg anymore and not being able to do some of the things that he loved to do before?
It's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard for him.
Because I know...
It took him years, even though he say, okay, I'm good, you know, I can do this, but the next day...
So was it kind of up and down, like a roller coaster
mm-hmm.
for a little bit? Yeah, until he realizes what his limitations are and what he can actually do.
Yeah.
I think Lyndon's the type of person where they're really... He hasn't mm-hmm. put any limitations on himself. Mm-hmm. What he's been able to do has been incredible.
Yeah, and he's still saying, like... He's still, before, like I think 2 years, 3 years, he's still missing what he's doing like before without his leg. Now, compare what he can do now.
Yeah. Is it hard for him to look at pictures of himself before the injury?
Not anymore.
Okay.
But before, yes. Yes. And it's like, oh, I have my leg on that picture. Like, for example, he saw pictures or video. Oh,
yeah.
That's my leg. No.
Now, one of the things that was done here in Gettysburg to really help you guys was Homes for Our Troops,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
So, and you know, for people that don't know what that charity does, they build the homes, right?
Yes.
For our veterans who have had injuries like Lyndon or worse, and the house is adapted to their
adapted,
needs.
Adapted, yep.
So, what year was that? Do you remember? Or how long have you been in the house?
Six years now.
Okay, so you've been in the house for 6 years.
2018? Oh.
Because originally you were in like a two-story house. There were stairs, there were hills.
Yes.
The backyard had a hill, the front yard had a hill. So it was really, and people don't really think about that. Even though he has a prosthetic that he uses, it's not.
It's a struggle for them.
It's
especially
not natural.
The stairs.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It is a struggle.
So then they came in and they provided a home. There's one floor.
Mm-hmm.
And then what else does it have for him that makes his life a little bit easier?
Before, you always get bruises on his leg.
Okay.
And basically, he uses wheelchair when we have the house, wheelchair during the summertime because he get that scratch.
Yes.
His limb is very sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
And because we got the hill and not an uneven yard.
In the original
but
house.
But now, yeah.
Yes.
But now, he never get to use his wheelchair since we moved to the house.
Right.
It's a big change.
So that was the biggest thing, just getting him out of the wheelchair?
Yes, and very more comfortable now with the shower.
Okay.
And before I have to help him out all the time with the shower we have, going to the bathroom,
So restored a lot of the independence that was taken away. And that's you know, areas that some of us don't even think about.
He's more free now to do something what he wants, especially in the garage.
And he can help you more around the house, right?
Before, yeah, that's true. Before, he can do it, but he's uncomfortable to go to stairs, so I have to do it.
Right.
Now he's like, he's
good.
The
limits. Mm-hmm. Right.
And I have to be with him most of the time before.
And that probably makes him feel better.
Yes.
You know, that he's not, because I know a lot of veterans like Lynn, and they don't want to be dependent on people. You know, they want to be able to.
That's true.
Yeah. So, well, they're providers, and they're, you know, strong men. So they just want to, you know, be able to do their thing.
Mm-hmm.
And when
before
that's
I have to ask him, are you okay? Can you do it? Are you okay? Okay, let me do it like that. But now.
He can do it.
Yeah. It's like normal.
Is there anything he really can't do around the house? Because he's able to drive.
Yes.
Right? And then, of course, Roots for Boots, for those of you that don't know out there, we provided him with a beautiful trike.
It's basically that house make him like normal before when he got his leg.
Yes.
Yeah, he's free now to that house.
Okay.
He's good.
He's good.
Yeah.
So the one thing we did was got him off of two wheels and onto three. Because he was having some problems handling the two wheels, and then you couldn't ride with him on it.
And I'm worried for him.
Yes. So now, how's the trike doing?
It's good. We enjoy it.
That's awesome.
We ride a lot.
Yeah. That's good. That's awesome. So what do you think, thinking back on this now, like what was the biggest challenge during that time? Other than not being able to see him, you know, not be there with him when he was in the hospital for a little bit. What was the biggest challenge for you guys? I mean, was it just the house that you had and it not being conducive to be able to help him to do what he needed to do around the house? Was it, I mean,
include that and that thing, because he's not free to the house, he can do anything. He feel like, is he gonna be like that forever?
So what was the biggest challenge for you then? I'll ask it that way. So the biggest challenge for him would have been house A compared to house B now. But what was it for you? I mean, watching him was, like what was going through your mind and through your heart as you're watching him struggle? Or was that the challenge? You know, that you had to watch him, this man that you...
I wish I can let him feel it like he's still normal.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish I can see him do what he was doing before when we had that house. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the...
Were you his biggest cheerleader?
Yes.
Yes.
I always do for him. I have to. I have to be strong in front of him.
Behind every great man,
you
know, an even greater woman, a strong woman.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Verlinden always says military wives are the toughest.
Yes.
And I think, you know, when you hear what they have to go through and what they have to deal with, you know, it does. I mean, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I know that the kids weren't there when all the trauma and all that was going on, but how do they see that?
Well, my daughter, when he's out, she didn't ask him or wondering what happened to my dad, why he doesn't have a leg, you know.
They just see it as normal.
Yes, as a normal, And then when my daughter started to understand everything, he just told her the story what happened to him. So. They never seen him like different.
Right.
You know.
Right. And I think he serves as a great example, you know, for the kids that, you know, you can do anything, really. You know, and I know Lyndon has a strong faith as well, which
has a positive attitude too. Yeah.
He does. Mm-hmm. He does. And he doesn't let anything stop him. So
Yep, that's true.
So did you learn anything through this whole experience, this whole journey? It's still continuing.
I did learn a lot.
What'd you learn?
A lot. How to be strong for the person you love. You have to be strong, especially for them with what they've been through. To be honestly, I almost give up on the first year I got here, because I don't know how to start or support him. I don't know how to be strong to him.
Well, not only that, you're being thrown into a culture too that you're not.
Yes.
You know, this home wasn't here at, you know, at that time. So it was, you know, you had a lot that you were dealing with. You were kind of like in your own tornado.
Yes, because when I got here before that injury, we got a lot of plans. We got a lot of dreams. So that dreams like stop everything. Yes. It changed everything. When I got here, I'm seeing like every single day. I feel like, is this the same person that I married before? I feel like I'm still looking for that relationship we had before he got injured. I didn't see what's going on to him at first, until I heard to the other military wives about the PTSD. So I start having, okay, I think I need to be strong for him, because if I'm not gonna be strong, you know, I don't know what's gonna happen to him. And what can I do? I love him.
Yeah.
So I have to be strong for him.
Yeah, and that's awesome that you educated yourself on what you could do, what it was, what, you know, I think a lot to coping with that is knowing what you're dealing with, and knowing that you're not alone, and knowing that others are going through it, and that there's help out there.
Yeah, it's just not easy, but we made it through.
You did, and you continue. I mean, your relationship is just, it's amazing, and it shows. It's very authentic.
Thank you.
It's very authentic. Let's see. So, I'm going back to when Lyndon says, military wives are always the toughest. So you said that a military wife helped you through when you were down at Walter Reed at the Fisher Houses. So what would be your advice for other military wives that might be going through the same thing?
Yeah, to all the military wives out there, just stay strong and put God in the center of your family.
Amen.
That's all I can.
He gets all the glory and praise.
Stay strong, yeah. Stay strong.
Yeah. Well, God's actually our CEO. Reach for Boots CEO. Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm just the chief enthusiasm officer. Mm-hmm. He's the CEO. Yes. Well, should we bring the family out?
Yeah.
Let's bring this beautiful family out. Okay, Cindy, so we have your beautiful family here that you talked about just so lovingly. And we thank you guys for everything that you do for the community. Now, Lyndon, you help us an awful lot. You volunteer for Roots for Boots, and we can consider that your way of continuing to serve your country. So thank you for your service. And we always say that when one member serves, the whole family serves. So Cindy, we want to thank you for your service as well, and for everything that you've been through. Know that we love you all. Do you want to take time to introduce these beautiful people to us?
Oh, this is my daughter, Ania. And this is my son, Gabriel.
And
my husband, right here, behind me.
The man of the hour, Lyndon.
The man who make me fall in love.
And whose life was changed after a deployment in Afghanistan. So thank you all so much for being here. You're just wonderful. You're a beautiful, beautiful
thank
family.
You.
Thank you so much. And I know the Adams County family community loves having you all.
Thank you.
In their community. So, with that being said, Christy Lucas from Roots for Boots signing off on this episode of Open House.